I'm Joy Robertson, and this is Inside the Food Channel. Well, if it sounds a little busy where I am, it's because I'm in a fantastic Italian restaurant in the middle of Springfield, Missouri. It's called Avanzari, and it's oh so good. And I'm dining with the one guy in town who can tell you this wine list up one side and down the other. He's Stuart Langer. He is a certified sommelier. Tell me, Stuart, about transitioning wine from summer to fall. We're in late summer now, and any time is a good time for wine. But a lot of people are really starting to think about transitioning. What are your thoughts on that?
I think a lot of times too many people get in a big hurry to transition over. They might go with like dark or heavy reds. We're getting ready to approach September now, and they're going to start converting over. Here's the way I look at it. A lot of your gardens are just now really producing. I know, like in my garden at home, my heirloom tomatoes are just now producing at home. I don't want to grab a Zinfandel or a Cab with my heirloom tomatoes. Too many people forget about something like a rosé even this time of year. And you take a caprese salad with homegrown tomatoes and fresh mozzarella and basil. Grab a rosé. It's not, everybody thinks rosé is just for the springtime or early summer. They're fantastic this time of year. Grab a dry rosé from France or from California or from Italy or Spain, and they're going to pair very, very well with something like that. And, I still tend to, I'm more focused on the pairing. So, we're getting ready to come into season when salmon is getting ready to come into season from all the rivers up in, in Washington and in Alaska and places like that. Grab a Pinot Noir from Oregon. Don't forget about it. Everybody thinks a lighter red in the summertime. It's more about the pairing and pairing the right wine with the right food all year round. Don't forget about whites. I mean, if you're having a salad, you're having something light, you're having seafood even in the fall and the winter time, grab a light white. It's all about that right pairing. I mean, the wine is a condiment, not a beverage.
That is an interesting way to look at it. And I love a good white wine any time of year. And sometimes you think, I'm going to sit out on the patio. It just seems like a big, thick red would be a little bit too heavy for sipping. What do you say to those people who sort of chill down their red or maybe drop an ice cube in it? Is that bad form, or am I just one of those renegades?
I wouldn't necessarily go with an ice cube because it does water it down. But I have nothing wrong, this weekend here where we are in Springfield. It's going to be hot. It's going to be up around 100 degrees. Take those wines and put a little chill to them. And actually, remember, when it's talking about cellar temperature of a wine, a Cabernet should be at 60 or 65 degrees. It's not room temperature. I think that's where the mistake is. I serve my Pinot Noirs at about 55 degrees. Okay, if it's 60 degrees. My Chardonnays, though, I don't serve at refrigerator temperature. I must serve them at 50 or 55 degrees also. If you warm up the whites, the nose will be much more fragrant. A lot of times, you're drinking a wine and you think, oh, this wine tastes better late in the evening. Is it because I've drank more? Or is it because we've let the wine get to the right temperature? It's got more air. We've taken care of the what wine should be. We've let wine is a living, breathing organism, and there's a perfect time to drink that wine, the right temperature, right accompaniments around it, let it breathe and things like that. And that actually changes the wine more than how much you've had to drink.
Talk a little bit more about the garden. You mentioned the garden, and pairing things is such a delight if you know what you're doing, And so talk about some of the late summer harvests that we're getting and some of the things that you would be looking for in terms of serving at your next patio party when you've brought some things out of the garden or been shopping at the farmer's market.
Well, like one of my favorite dishes this time of year, my kids call it green pasta. So I grow my own basil and I make pesto at home. So I'll make my own pesto from scratch, and then I'll take and saute some garlic and olive oil with cherry tomatoes and just saute them and let them get nice and warm until they just start to pop. And then I'll throw in really good pasta, the really good spaghetti, usually like a thicker spaghetti that I'll throw in with it that is cooked al dente, then toss in the pesto with it, throw some fresh grated Parmesan cheese. And that's it. And my boys, they're little, 8, 5, and 4, and they'll go back for seconds on it. They just love it, okay? And so for me, I'm going to grab a light Italian white. with that. Okay, you know, this time of year, you know, I might be like a really, really good quality Pinot Grigio, as an example, would be a very good choice, or a Verdicchio, or you know, out of Piedmont, maybe an Arnaise. Okay, would be a very good choice. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, go with something sparkling like a Prosecco would be a great choice along those lines. Likewise, though, we could take a lighter red. So, you know, we could do a Dolcetto from Piedmont, as an example, or a Barbera is going to pair with that. You know, so I'm going to grab that lighter red. I'm not going to grab necessarily a Super Tuscan to go with it. It's going to overpower it, okay? Or a Chianti could be too tannic for it. So I want something a little lighter on that side. So that would be a great, you know, a great choice this time of year coming out of the garden. You know, obviously anything with tomatoes this time of year is going to be perfect. You know, also, you know, there's a lot of squash coming out, you know, right now. You know, a lot of times we'll take it and thinly slice our yellow squash or zucchini and do a little fry on it, you know, and you know, a lot of those same wines are going to pair very well with it, or like an American Pinot Noir is going to work really well. Again, rosés, I can't emphasize it enough. I think, you know, in the Midwest, we're a little behind the trend. If you're on the East Coast and West Coast, they're really, you know, they're drinking rosés all year round. And I think, you know, here, you know, they drink rosés early in the year when they first come out, and then they forget about them. And I think, you know, rosés are meant to be drank all year round. There are even rosés out there that will age, you know, for long periods of time. And so, you know, I think, you know, don't forget about rosés, light reds, you know, whites. You know, I mean, it's there's a lot of different things this time of year.
Last night I was peeling some peaches, lots of beautiful peaches, and had a little peaches and ice cream with my favorite shortcake, which is Ritz crackers. And if you haven't tried it, I'm telling you what, you will never go back. But that said, peaches for dessert or peaches grilled alongside dinner, what do you pair with that?
Well, or another idea for peaches, and I think I was telling you about this, I do a peach caprese salad, where I take peaches this time of year when they've really got good acidity, like your tomatoes do, and I'll slice them, put the mozzarella, the basil, olive oil, balsam, I mean, everything I would do with tomatoes, but do a peach caprese, and it is awesome. It's to die for. And so don't, you know, definitely you have to try it, because when they're in season, they're fantastic. You know, what I would look for along with those peaches, I like it like a Pinot Gris would be a really good choice. And, you know, out of Oregon would be a very good choice. There's some great producers out there. Also, you know, even a drier Riesling. I think too many times people think Riesling is only sweet. And there are really good Rieslings out there with good acidity. You know, we tried another wine recently, the Fregenet, the Mia that we tried. Mm-hmm. That would be a really good choice. It was real fruity. It's from Spain, but it had good acidity on the back of the palate. I think you have to complement the acidity, you know, with those dishes. I think that's very important.
All right, so what are you looking forward to popping open that you haven't yet? Maybe when fall does start to get a little closer. Is there something you keep back that you really look forward to on, say, the first crisp evening of the year?
Well, and a lot of that has to do with my wife when she's drinking with me. We really dig Spanish wines, and really nice Spanish wines. And so I've got one bottle I've been sitting back for a while, and it's from 2006, and it's from Ribera del Duero. And so a really nice you know, Spanish red is something I'm going to dig in here. We're going to probably have some polenta, maybe a prime rib or something like that, and we'll kind of go along that route. And or, you know, we may even get into some, you know, fall squash. Are going to be starting to come around. Butternut squash is going to be starting to come around, or spaghetti squash. Spaghetti squash would be a great side with that prime rib. You know, as the spaghetti squash come out, you know, you'll cook it, saute it with a little bit of butter, and make it a savory dish on that squash instead of doing the sweet. Everybody thinks sweet on those wintertime squashes, and a lot of times they make a great savory side with your meal also.
All right, Stuart Langer, certified sommelier, thank you so much for taking time out. We'll talk again soon, and we thank all of you for listening to this podcast, and we will see you next time.